Hey, friend, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminary, and here we are another week. Wait a minute. A whole new year. We have this whole new opportunity to be a whole different person. We are going to look tonight. We're going to take this opportunity, dive into Scripture, perhaps find some motivation to get started being person God needs us to be. I'll see you on the other side.
Because it's our time now. And I want to just begin, obviously, by wishing everybody a happy new year. And I hope that everybody's Christmas was amazing. And you went through this holiday season and you find yourself full of faith and strength as you step into 2024. That's what I hope for all of us. And I want to say that right off the bat. Now, tonight I want to tell a story that I'm going to call Get Started, because it is the first of the year, right? And I want to start off by saying that the 3 points, you guys know I usually like to kind of tell these stories in point one, point two, point three. The 3 points, kidding me. The 3 points tonight kind of form a quote that's from a famous tennis player from a long time ago by the name of Arthur Ashe. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before, but it's a very inspiring quote, and I hope that you will hope you'll feel that way too. Now, I want to start off by talking about New Year's resolutions, and I wonder how many of us. We can't really hear on the headphones here, so it doesn't really matter. But most of us make some sort of new resolution. And we hope that this year, this new year of ours, is going to be a banner year in our lives. And so I think we do have a lot to look forward to. I hope that all of those things happen. But I was reading a few things about what people had to say about New Year's resolutions. I found some of them a little bit amusing. I saw where one person said, "I can't believe that it's been a whole year since I didn't become a better person." Right? Or, I'm going to work out every day. Resolution, or at least briefly consider it for a couple of weeks. And there was one guy said he was, "I'm going to lose weight, marry Scarlett Johansson, and I'm going to find the lost city of Atlantis." That's his resolution. Now, this one I thought might resonate with you, because it does with me. I read where somebody said, "My resolution for 2024 is to accomplish all the goals I had set in 2023, which I should have got done in 2022 because I planned to do them in 2021, right? It's funny that there's an article in a psychology journal that actually was talking about why many people don't set New Year's resolutions, actually. And I believe this is pretty true. And it's also kind of capitalizes on this topic we've been talking about for about a month and a half. And one of the journals said that the reason that people typically don't make New Year's resolutions is because of fear. It's a fear of not finishing what we start. Because all of us at some point in our lives look back with some form of regret, maybe in some instances where we look back and think, "Man, I regret whatever because I didn't finish what I started." So let me turn this up on its end today, this evening, and say something a little bit different about the way that we should approach our lives. Because one of the truths that you don't need me to tell you, because you're smart people, right, is that you're never going to finish something that you don't start. Right? So what we're going to look at this evening is we're going to find motivation, as we do at Bible studies. We're going to look into God's Word. Tonight we're going to look at this one guy named Moses, who God used in miraculous ways, and how he simply just got started. We're going to look at his life, and we're going to look at how that's going to maybe perhaps push us to begin something that God has called us to do. Why? Because everybody, every single one of us, everybody has something that God needs for them to do. Every single one of us has something that God has said, look, I need you in this area with this thing, in this situation, whatever, to get started. Well, what is it? Maybe it is high time that you get serious about getting fit or healthy. Maybe it is time for you to start that business. Maybe it's time to get started restoring that damaged relationship. Right? Maybe it's time to get started by being more generous with your time and your talent and your treasure. And you need, because God needs you to become a more generous person. Or maybe it's high time you stop being a slave to your schedule and you use some of that resource to make a difference in the lives of people around you. What is it that you simply need to get started with? What has been left undone? Because we all have something. And many times what we can do is we can think about that one thing and we can find ourselves in a kind of a cul-de-sac of indecision, right? I don't know, should I go this way or should I go that way? I don't know which way I should go. And so I'm just going to stay right here. What I want to say is sometimes, because I stink, I'm speaking, preaching, teaching to myself about this. Then you just happen to be here listening, right? But when it does work, there are times when I have done the right thing. And one of the things I found to be helpful in this indecision, this being stuck, this quagmire, is to think, when I have a clear picture of where I want to end up, then I can understand more clearly where I need to begin. So here's a little exercise. Okay? This is feel good Wednesday night at church. I don't want to talk about New Year's resolutions in 2024. Let's just skip all the way to the end of our tape. All the way to the end. And let's forget about resolutions and let's talk about that time where your memorial service is now over. The people are undoing their neckties and standing around eating cheese and crackers and talking about you. What do you want them to say? What would you hope that they might say about you? Because in that answer, you may just find where it is that you need to get started. What you need to be about, what you need to start. Because what you never start, you're never going to finish. And if you want that finish line, there has to be a clear starting point. But we must start because we never finish things we don't start. So, we're going to look quickly at the end of Moses' life. Actually, this isn't even from the Old Testament part of Moses' life. This is from the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11. And in biblical scholar circles, in preacher circles, in Bible study circles, chapter 11 of Hebrews has this kind of name. It's called the Heroes of Faith. So, or the Pillars of Faith is another way I've heard this chapter heard. So you might hear sometimes someone refer to this chapter and they'll use that phrase, Heroes of Faith or Pillars of Faith. And it's really beautiful. If you should go home and read your Bible sometimes. There's great stuff in there. And in Hebrews, it does this awesome job of basically starting from the beginning of the Bible and looking at all of these heroes of the stories and pointing out in ways in which their faith was demonstrated. Right? A great example, just real quick off the topic, we're talking about Moses, but a great example is right off the bat with Abraham. Why is he such a hero of faith? Because he had a vision from God that told him to get up, to leave the place where he was at, and go walk someplace that I'm going to promise and give to you. But when he started walking, God hadn't told him anything about when to stop. He just got up and started walking, right? That's the kind of idea of Hebrews 11 with its theme on faith. Now, here's what he says about Moses. Chapter 11, Hebrews, he says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. He was looking forward to his reward. Now, I'm not sure what level of Christology Moses had in his mind whenever he made these decisions. But here we find one of these examples where not only at the end of his life, but like thousands of years after his life, hundreds of years after his life, we find in Hebrews the kind of thing that people would want to be said about them at the end of their life. What an incredible thing to be said about you. That's a powerful statement. If we put our name in the place of Moses here and our faith in God is championed, that's a great finishing line. That's a great place to end up. And that is where Moses' life did in fact end up. But that wasn't where Moses' life began. Now, some people are familiar, at least, with Moses, understand a lot general concepts, right? Because he's an iconic figure in the scriptures. He's an iconic figure just in our retelling of favorite Bible stories. But, you knowing me, right? I want to rewind just a little bit because context matters. So let's look at the context of his life and where we're going to begin today with Moses so we can see this broader picture of starting and finishing. But I think before we kind of just go into those points, I think we need to understand a little bit more about Moses. Because I don't want to just assume, because the context matters. So Moses was born a very young Hebrew boy. Well, I guess he was born a young Hebrew boy. I don't know how younger you could get being born, but he was born. I'm not sure why I wrote it that way. Sorry. When he was born, he was a Hebrew. I'm not sure why I said he was born a young Hebrew boy. He was born in Egypt. The problem was that he was born during a time when the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians. And you may or may not know, they were basically enslaved to build the pyramids. Millions of them. Okay? The problem in the time of Moses' birth was this was about the time when the Pharaoh at the time had become concerned because there are so many of them. He had become concerned that the Israelite population might grow large enough that with just a little organization, it could possibly overtake the Pharaoh's throne. So, as we find often in the stories of the Bible, Pharaoh's solution was to take all the Hebrew boys, and throw them all into the Nile River and have them drowned. Get rid of them. He was genocide, right? Controlling the population for the sole purpose of being able to secure his rule. So this is a big problem. So Moses' mom decides to get ahead of Pharaoh. And we all know the story if we've been to one VBS, right? She makes a basket, she floats him down the river, and by God's hand, Moses ends up where Pharaoh's daughter is now bathing in the river. She picks up this young Hebrew boy, sees this cute little bottom, probably, and she takes him and she raises him to be her own for 40 years. Okay? Again, we look at what that Moses did, like after in the Exodus and stuff, that was decades later. He was a part of Pharaoh's household for 40 years. So we have a Hebrew boy growing up in an Egyptian household, being trained in Egyptian ways, understanding the educational systems of the Egyptians, which at the time was the greatest in the world, the choicest fruits and vegetables, all of the stuff that he grew up in would have been a very posh environment. And one day, after these 40 years, he's out overseeing a job for the Pharaoh, and an Israelite and an Egyptian get into a fight. And he looks on, and he says, I've got to protect my people, the Israelites. So he goes down, and he kills the Egyptian. Okay, he's now thinking, oh, no, what have I done? So he buries the Egyptian in the sand, and he covers it up, and he goes away thinking everything's going to be okay. Remember, he's the very powerful, powerful Egyptian at the time. The next day, there are two Israelites fighting. And he goes down and he says, brothers, brothers, you know, what are you guys doing? Stop fighting. And they look at him and they say, who made you the judge over us? What are you going to do? Kill us like you did that Egyptian yesterday? 24 hours later. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm found out. And he flees. And he leaves Egypt for 40 more years. Moses wanders around in the desert. This is the middle part of his life. For 40 years in the wilderness as a shepherd. And while he's out there, check this out. While he's out there, he has a son, and the son's name is Gershom, right? And Gershom means, in Hebrew, it means I'm a foreigner in a foreign land, right? I mean, this, you can see how this has affected his identity, these choices and the circumstances that have taken place. You can see that the idea of being a foreigner is central to the idea, so much so, he's attached that idea and identity, rather, to his son. I'm a foreigner in a foreign land. Moses was 40 years in Egypt in Pharaoh's household. Now, 40 more years out in the wilderness, just shepherding sheep. And then all of a sudden one day, he has the burning bush experience. The bush, which he observes, Scripture says, is burning, right? Now, whether it just continuously burns and doesn't consume itself or it had some sort of immutable flame is another concept. No one's really quite sure if the plant, the bush itself was on fire. Dumb Bible study nerd stuff. Was the bush actually on fire and the leaves weren't consumed? Or was there a fire of some sort within the bush, but the bush itself wasn't on fire? I mean, there are people who actually take the time out of their lives to sit around and have debates about that kind of stuff. Imagine. Not to say that it's not interesting. I'm just not sure how important it is. So he says, he goes over and checks it out. He has a conversation with God. And God says, Moses, I need you to go back to Egypt. And Moses, as you might imagine, is like, nah, right? And God is like, not only are you going to go back to Egypt, I want you to go back to Pharaoh. And when you get there, you're going to utter that favorite phrase of mine, let my people go. All of them, every one of them, right? And remember, when we were talking about how many of these enslaved Israelites there were millions of them. You're going to go to Pharaoh, you, the enemy of the Pharaoh. You're going to go and you're going to demand that millions of your workforce be let go. And Moses, as you could imagine, if you were in his sandals, was like, I don't know about that. And this is a point actually in scripture where we're going to pick up today. I laid that kind of foundation here. Okay, we know where Moses ended. We're seeing where he began. But I want to look at this conversation with God that he has. And what we're going to find is we're going to find our motivation to get started. Okay, first thing I want to encourage you in this new year, this new opportunity, is we simply need to start where we are. Start where you are. Let's look at scripture where God and Moses are talking. Remember, God has just told him, you're going to go back, you're going to talk to Pharaoh, and you're going to demand of Pharaoh to let your people go. And Moses says, he says this, he says, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? What is God thinking? I killed a man 40 years ago. Right? My sign is still up on the post office in downtown Thebes or wherever. Right? I'm still a wanted man. They're going to kill me the moment I get back and recognize me. I can't go back. Who am I? But God in our scripture story tonight says something very powerful that I hope God will say to us today. He says, Moses, I will be with you. Let's not miss the power in this. Many of us have discounted what God could simply do through us because of what we think about, our opinions about our past and different mistakes that perhaps we've made. We simply need to understand, just like Moses, God is saying to each every one of us today, I'm with you. And when we understand who's with us, it gives us a certain confidence to do things that we might not do otherwise. No matter what our past, no matter what's happened in our lives, no matter what thing that you've come up against, God says, when you call on me, I understand and I'm with you. And we, with that realization, when we become a hero of that faith, we recognize, we begin to have a confidence that only comes from truly understanding that God really is with us. It doesn't matter where you are, when you are, right, who you're with, it simply doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the past. It doesn't matter about perhaps the financial ruin you once had. It doesn't matter about any of those other things when we understand who we're with. You know, and at the same time, to not pump all sunshine tonight, many of us, truth be told, we experienced loss in this last year. Perhaps it was the loss of a loved one. And you know what? It was tough getting through this holiday season. Some people, it was a loss of a career, a job that they might have thought was going to be there forever. For some, it's a loss of a marriage, a relationship. And we can look into this coming year and we can find it very difficult to figure out exactly how it is we're going to make it through. And yet God says to you today, my friends, I am with you. Amen. And when I'm with you, we're going to do things together for my glory. And we are going to make it through because we're going to get started. God says, because I've got more for you in your life. Hallelujah. It's really this simple, right? If you're not dead, you're not done. And God's got something he wants to do in and through you, but we have to start where we are. Amen. Doesn't matter where we are, doesn't matter who we're with. First thing we're going to do is we're going to start where we are. The second thing, this Arthur Ashe quote I was telling you about, is we're going to start where we are and we're going to use what we have. We're going to use what we have. Now, despite God's I'm with you promise, assurance, Moses is still probably like us, like, I don't know about this, God. Because God's like, I want you to go to Egypt. And he's, I don't know. What if Moses says to God, what if they don't believe or they don't listen to me? And they say, the Lord didn't appear to you. Think about this. I mean, this is Moses asking God. What if I go and do this? And they think I am crazy. The Lord says to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, Moses replies. Please don't miss the power in this, right? Use what you have. Many times we read right over that portion of scripture. But this is really powerful. Why? Because God takes the staff. Now, why did Moses have a staff? He had a staff because he was a shepherd, right? It wasn't any kind of like special thing, any type of religious talisman or, you know, special trinket. Was it anything special that God was going to use? It was simply what he had in his hand because he's a shepherd. And God is going to take that staff, that ordinary staff, and is going to actually end up doing extraordinary things through it. He's going to take that ordinary staff, and he's going to take it where Moses throws it down, and it turns it into a snake, and he picks it back up, and it becomes a staff again. He's going to take that staff, and he's going to perform miracle after miracle through it. He's going to take that staff one time. Moses is going to hit the Red Sea, and that sea is going to part before him and deliver him and millions of the people of God from their enemy. Moses is going to take this very ordinary staff and hold it above his head, and God is going to do an extraordinary thing, like smite his enemies in front of him. And I think the writer of Hebrews is also trying to say here that it truly is unbelievable that when we simply step out and we take that thing that seems ordinary in our lives, God can take that thing that is ordinary and do extraordinary things through it, because God uses exactly what we have. Whatever you have, that's what God uses. We all have something in our hand. Right? Let me prove this. Some of us, right? Some might say, you know what? It's not me. It may not be you either. I think we know somebody like this. We all do. Right? There's not much I really can do, but I'll tell you what. I could cook. Right? I don't know if I could teach a Bible study, but I can make a mean lasagna. God says, perfect. I'm going to take that, what seems ordinary, and I'm going to do something extraordinary with it. I'm going to help people feel loved and cared for. Because in the time that they need it, just that simple meal, just that ordinary meal, that thing in your hand, you're going to show up at the door with a big hot plate of lasagna. And they're going to think, praise God, glory on high forever. I mean, this thing is 7-layer homemade lasagna, right? And you're going to see some ordinary thing produce extraordinary results. All I do is enjoy hanging out with kids. Seem to be good with kids. God says, perfect. I'm going to use you to train up children the way they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. How many of us, maybe not all, but many of us, look back and would have loved to have somebody at that point in our lives, early on in our lives, help teach us things to save our departures that we ended up taking as adults. Use what you have, because what you have, that's exactly what God loves to use. So we're going to start where we are. Doesn't matter where we are or any of that when we know who we're with. We're going to use what we have because that's what God loves to use. And the third thing we're going to use to get started is we're going to simply do what we can. Do what you can. So Moses again goes back to God with another complaint. And he's like, well, and God's like, I need you to go. Moses is like, he says, pardon your servant, Lord, but I've never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow in speech and tongue. I love this. The Lord replies, God says, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, because I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. I don't know. I certainly tried to with my inflection there. I don't know if you picked up on it, but I notice a tension there. I almost get the sense like being the loving parent that many of us are, if we were in God's shoes, be in our minds thinking, are you serious? Go. I need you to get started. Go. Right? Those of us, like I said, those who have young children, you try to get them to go to bed, they don't go to bed. They've got every excuse in the world why not to go to bed. They should be, they could be even, dead tired. Right? Falling asleep. I don't know if you guys have ever. Falling asleep in your arms. You mention to them like it's time to go to bed, and it's like they just mainline some espresso. Right? It's weird when it happens. And all of a sudden, they don't want to do the simple thing, this simple thing that you told them to do. And it's like, hey, go to bed. Right? And it's, tell me a story. I'm not tired. Could I get a drink of water? My pajamas are itchy. Could you tell me a story? I'm scared of the dark, right? Excuse after excuse after excuse. And you're like, are you serious? Just go to bed. I think I sense that a little bit here with God and Moses. Because despite God's promises and his assurances, he's still like, I don't know. God is like, please, just go. For some of us, God needs to maybe with Christian love and respect, perhaps God might need to take his golden boot and put it right up against our bad side, our backside, to get us moving in 2024, to get us started. So we're not going to start if we don't finish. Yes, I just said that completely backwards. We're not going to finish but we just start unless we start. Right? Now go, Moses, do what you can. I'm going to fill in the gaps, God says. I'll teach you along the way. I'm not going to give you everything now so that you feel fully equipped, whatever in your mind, before we step forward into Egypt. I'm going to teach you as we go. Right? You might want to get fit. You might want to start running again. But could you run a marathon today? No, probably not. But you could start today by taking those first few steps, working up to a 5K, so on. Right? Can we remove all of the debt from our lives if we have it in our lives? Can we remove that debt today? No. But we can start today with maybe not buying things that we don't necessarily need. Maybe we decide to get serious about this debt. And what we find is as we walk with God and we start where we are and we use what we have and we do what we can, these three points from Arthur Ashe, God takes us on a journey, right? And you might think you're going a certain way, but then he ends up doing something far more extraordinary, right? And he reminds us, it's going to take a lot of steps to get there. And right now, I don't want you to worry about step 28. I just need you to take step one and get started. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this. And when we simply do this, God takes something ordinary in our lives and does something crazy extraordinary. So friends, it's time to get started. And I hope that maybe you've heard this talk tonight, and maybe it's occurred to you in a crystalline way, in the way that it has to me, that maybe it is very clear to us that God is speaking to us about something we need to get started. And there are those of us that says, you know what? I can feel it right now. I know exactly what it is. And I know that God's going to start something in my life. And this is going to be the start of something new. But only if we get started. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
You know, like I had said earlier in the podcast, and I sincerely mean this, I'm preaching this, I'm teaching this, I'm talking about this, I'm bringing this up to myself. You just happen to be there listening. And I hope you're like me, because I don't tell this story from a position of knowing it all or having it all figured out. We are in the same boat together. You, me, we all have that thing. We know it. We know God is ready for us to get started. There is a story at the finish. There's a story each and every one of us want to be told. But we have to start working that way. Once we figure out the person in the end we want to be, we're going to know right away. The person we need to start being right now. At least it's something to think about. Hey, I'll see you next week. And until then, be blessed.